Welcome to the MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source of inspiring information concerning multiple sclerosis, fitness, and health. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people living with MS and fitness professionals worldwide on the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I'm Maureen Manley, your host, exercise scientist, and director of integrated wellness here at the MS Fitness Challenge. Today, we have two special guests joining us to share their expertise on the importance of cooling when you're living with MS. They're also going to share proactive strategies on how you can keep your cool when things heat up. Brad Dunn and Curtis Cracky are co-founders of Therma Apparel. They started their entrepreneur adventure in 2016 when they formed Therma Apparel. They have spent months doing over 200 customer interviews and making over 50 prototypes to create and invent the Undercool, a lightweight, comfortable, and concealable cooling vest. Therma Apparel has sales globally in 17 different countries, and it is an industry leader in the U.S. working with partners like the MS Foundation, the National MS Society, FUMS, Race to Erase MS, Lupus Shop, and the MS Fitness Challenge. Brad and Curtis, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us, especially during these hot summer months.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to having you guys share your expertise on how to stay cool, why we need to stay cool, and how best to optimize our health and wellness by doing just that. So My first question and diving in here, Brad, what got you guys, you both have a very interesting background, and I'm curious about what got you interested in the science behind cooling and creating cooling apparel?
Yeah, so Curtis and I were graduate students at the Rochester Institute of Technology working in industrial design. And a friend of ours with MS was having issues with the heat to the point where he one day walked from his front door to his mailbox, and it was a hot summer day, not too hot for Rochester, it was probably about 80 degrees, and collapsed just walking to his mailbox.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, he had his phone on him. He was able to call the paramedics who came over and brought him back into the safety of his air-conditioned house. And within 15 minutes, he was back to normal, real fine, right? And it was one of those things when we heard that story, it was just like, wow, you can't go outside. You're kind of imprisoned in your house all summer. And is there a way for us to help with that? And at that time, I had been working on some thermal regulation things for hospitals. And it was just, it's an interesting problem that isn't really addressed in society today. And I just found the MS aspect of it as like a way where we could really make a difference that we had some expertise in as product designers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what kind of started the ball rolling for us, or for me at least.
Yeah. Neat. I mean, it's, you know, I'm mindful of saying cool about everything. Well, it's interesting how you fell into it in a wonderful heart connection around wanting to help your friend and also help, you know, people dealing with this stuff. I think what's important for listeners to know, and even people with MS, I find that some of them don't really, they're suffering in the heat, but they don't really understand why. And simply said, you know, with what's happening physiologically is the demyelinated areas caused by MS are making it harder to conduct the electrical impulses. It's harder for the electrical impulses to go through these areas. And that's what makes, when the heat rises, it makes it harder for this conduction to happen. And it makes like what the story you shared about your friend collapsing. I mean, that's really what can happen. And there's different levels of, some people are heat sensitive, like myself. I'm heat sensitive, but I'm not heat intolerant. Mm-hmm. I'm sensitive to it, and I'm going to feel better, do better athletically when I'm cooler, but I'm not going to collapse. And so it's really important that people, you know, kind of know what's going on. And Curtis, that's a question for you that I wanted to ask, is why it's important that people know if they're heat sensitive.
Well, you know, it's a big safety issue, just from that story illustrates. But, you know, heat affects all of us. And one thing that I really like to let people living with MS know is that there's nothing wrong with their cooling system. You know, there's nothing wrong with how their body cools their body. It's the nervous system problem. And that nervous system problem is just very sensitive or intolerant of heat, you know, and you think of it a lot like, you know, you mentioned the electrical circuit. You know, one of the things that people may be aware of is electricity itself doesn't work really good when it's really cold out or when it's really hot out. And those signals in our bodies are very, very small. So little changes in the temperature can have some pretty drastic effects. And, you know, it's also very important for people living with MS to also know that, you know, their heat sensitivities are the same as people who don't have MS. Like I say, they just don't have that as intense relationship with it. And when you have heat insensitivity, you've really got to plan ahead. You've really got to think about, you know, what's going to happen if I do X or Y, and plan your life according to it. And we really want to make sure that people are safe and can break those barriers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I think, as you said, it's important to know about it and what's going on and to the degree it affects you, and then to proactively take steps, because yes, it stinks. It sucks that you have to deal with it. But if you're shooting for, if your objective is to live the best, healthiest, happiest life, there's things that we can do with MS. And thank you guys for being a part of bringing their awareness and also bringing a proactive thing to, you know, the community that we can utilize to really optimize our health. And with the MS Fitness Challenge for people that want to exercise and have challenges doing that in the heat, that's great. But first, you got to know what's going on before you can address it. So, Curtis, there's some confusion about cooling. I mean, there's a lot of people that may know they're heat sensitive, but just don't know the proper way to get their body cool. You know, it feels so good to put something cold on your body, like ice on your skin or something like that. So is that helping us when we're just putting something cold on our skin? Is that really helping to put, you know, take our body temperature down?
Not really.
Can you explain that? It feels so good.
It feels good. You know, and it's a lot like what you were just alluding to is, you know, we really have to develop a relationship with our own body, because sometimes we can trust what we feel and sometimes we can't. And one of the things that we get questions about all the time about our undercool cooling vest is it doesn't feel like air conditioning. Well, it doesn't feel like air conditioning because we're not trying to cool you off like you're in the air conditioning. We're concentrating on that core body temperature. And that core body temperature has to work with the whole system of your cooling of your body, which includes your sweating and your skin, but it also includes your blood flow, you know? And, you know, our internal temperatures have to be regulated by our hearts and that blood flow that moves that heat around from those internal organs out to the exteriors of our hands and our fingers so that can be dissipated, you know?
Okay. So in thinking about, like, if I'm hot, thinking about my blood flow versus getting my skin cold, would that be a wise thing to do? Like, how can I best get my skin my blood cooler and pumping that around my body? Is that what you're getting at there?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And you do that by the skin does help, but you would need to do it for a long period of time for that to really affect your blood flow versus spraying yourself with a water bottle. We've all seen those spray water bottles with the fan and ooh, that feels so nice. But, you know, that lasts what, a couple of seconds? You need right. something to last for, you know, minutes, half hour or more.
And there also is like the idea of being too cold, right? I think Curtis brought up a really good point earlier, kind of talking about how the electrical systems both in our body and in our cars, for instance, work. And they both don't work as efficiently when it's really hot, but they also don't work as efficiently when they're very cold either, right? So it's you don't necessarily want to use the coldest available thing to cool down your body, even though kind of at first glance, that's what we all think, right? Like, I want the fastest car, so I need the most horsepower. I need to cool down the most, so I need the coldest thing I can find. And in reality, that isn't necessarily the case.
Right, right. So the way that I think about it and talk about it with my students and clients is really looking at core temperature, not, you know, really think about the big picture of how to cool your core, because that's really what's going to be beneficial and not so much just your skin. And boy, we all want instant relief. And, yeah. you know, we can get some instant relief as well with the spray bottles and, you know, cool stuff on our skin. But if you really want to escape what you're experiencing, if you are experiencing, you know, the sensitivity in your body not working well and having what we call what is termed a pseudo exacerbation, because a lot of times people get scared about, you know, what's happening in their body when things heat up. Mm-hmm. And it's not a flare up. It feels like a flare up, but it's what in neurology they call a pseudo exacerbation. And we know that you're having a pseudo exacerbation, like Brad, your story, your friend that collapsed in the heat and then went into the air conditioning was better. Mm-hmm. So you recover from this heat sensitivity issue and it's not a flare. And, you know, in the early days of MS and not the early diagnosis days, but years ago, they were concerned that it was worsening MS. It's not worsening MS. And that's an important thing for people to understand. Is we can be proactive so we don't have to deal with it, but it's not going to be harmful overall for your diagnosis and your overall health. But we want to minimize it for sure and recover from it as quick as possible. So, Brad, I have a question that a lot of people deal with, and it's tricky to understand a dry heat versus humidity, and for me, I'll tell you, humidity just, I call it, it just locks in the heat. Why are these two different kind of heats so different?
That is a great way of putting in it, locking in the heat. I like that. So a dry heat can be just as bad for you, but humidity will make you feel, or will actually physically make you hotter. So in a dry heat, when we sweat, that's our body's main way of getting rid of all that excess heat. We get a layer of water vapor all over our skin, and then our blood vessels heat up that water and evaporate it out into the environment to get rid of that heat. And so in a dry heat, that water on our skin has somewhere to go. It has somewhere to leave too, so we can get rid of that heat. And frequently with a dry heat, the problem is more of a dehydration issue because sure. you don't feel as hot because your body is working so efficiently at getting rid of the heat and you're sweating and you're not drinking enough. And then next thing you know, you're dehydrated. Whereas in a humid environment, that water on your skin in the form of sweat, when the heat gets to it and heats it up, it can't evaporate. It has nowhere to go in the world because the air is already full of so much other water. And so it just sticks to your skin. You're like soaking wet. It's dripping off everywhere. And you're just, that heat is just kind of sticking to your body and preventing the heat from escaping. So you're actually heating up faster.
Yes. Okay. Well, that makes sense. So I think, you know, the distinction, and that I work with myself and just really looking at the distinctions between a variety of things that I deal with as a person with MS. And, you know, heat, a dry heat, I know how to deal with. And again, just like you said, that's going to be I am able to cool myself better because of the sweat evaporation thing. And I have to think more about hydration and doing my best to stay cool in it or to recover with cooling from being in it. But humidity is a different bird, and there's a different way to think about it, really, because it's going to lock in the heat. So cooling is even more important there, pre, during, and after. And we'll talk a little bit about the best ways to cool as well. So Curtis, we talked about this a little bit with, you know, heat sensitivity and MS. What are some of the important things to think about to optimize your body temperature for the goal being optimizing your quality of life and your workouts? What are some things to think about? We talked about the thinking about blood flow, but what are a few other things?
Yeah, one of the things that we really want to try to address is the results when you overheat. Mm-hmm. And if we can minimize those problems from overheating, then that will equal a better quality of life. And one of the things that we see a lot with people with MS is fatigue.
Sure. You know,
fatigue is a big problem, and so is inflammation. Mm-hmm. And both of those are exacerbated by heat, and keeping your core temperature lower will help negate some of those things. So one of the things that really drove us while we were developing this product is we really wanted something that could not only just make people's daily lives better, but like improve the quality of their health. And how are you supposed to, we all know that eating right and exercising equals happier and healthier. I mean, right. It doesn't matter what conditions you have, you know, it's proven. And, but how are you supposed to exercise if when you exercise, you overheat, and if you overheat, you collapse?
Right.
You know, so there's kind of a problem here.
Right. It's a quandary. Right.
It's a little bit of an issue. And, great, you know, one of the stories that we heard that I just was flabbergasted me was a woman that came to us that said she rides her horse for 30 minutes and then she has to take a 4-hour nap, and she had to ride her horse at 7 o'clock in the morning in order to not be out in the direct sun as much, you know. And so one of the things you should really consider is first learning your body, knowing when you're going to heat up. Like if this activity that I'm doing is really big cardio work, then that's probably going to heat up my body quicker than if I was just going for a stroll, you know.
Sure.
And plan that activity out so that you can take the steps so that you don't overdo it, so that you have more energy and you have less inflammation so that you can go back and you can do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. So you're talking about being very proactive and really strategizing an approach to really optimizing your health and not putting yourself through, you know, that hardship when we don't have to.
Yeah.
There's things that we can do when you're, you know, have the courage to go, okay, this is what's going on in my body. I don't like it. I don't like feeling it, but it's there. And, okay, so I know that now what can I do about it? And there's things that you can do about it. And that's what's so great, where we don't have to suffer because of things we perhaps won't accept or two don't know enough about. So thank you for sharing that with us. So, you know, it's interesting. I co-authored a study on cooling at the UW Research and Rehabilitation Center a good many years ago. And I also was a study participant, having MS myself. And so we used a NASA, what they called a NASA cooling suit to cool me at a variety, well, it was three different temperatures. You know, the big finding from that is the cool temperatures I was able to, so we studied me on a bicycle. So we cooled me before, and then I stayed cool. I had the gear on during my ride. And what we found in the study is that myself and the other participants could produce more power. So I could ride stronger on the bike. I could stay on the bike for longer, and I stayed in an aerobic metabolism during the cooler temperatures. So Brad, can you tell us just, you know, a little bit about why this is so at cooler temperatures, why I was able to produce more power, stay on the bike and ride longer, and stay in an aerobic metabolism?
Yeah, it kind of goes back a little bit to the dry and humidity kind of environment situation of, you know, our body's main way of cooling is sweating, which we all understand. But what kind of gets lost is that the sweating cools off the skin, but now that skin is maybe a degree or two colder, but how does that get to the rest of your core, right? And in that process, your heart and your blood vessels are the main, I'll say, mover of heat through your body. And so when you overheat, your blood vessels close to the surface of your skin dilate more to get that excess heat away from your big muscle groups, your brain and your core organs, okay, to get them out to your skin. So that way they can heat up the sweat to then evaporate that sweat out into the world. And that's what kind of why, you know, everybody gets a little flush. They get cherry colored cheeks, rosy mm-hmm. cheeks when they're hot out, right? That's the blood vessels right there in their cheeks dilating as the blood is going there. So the heart can only do so much, right? It's one organ that has all these different jobs it has to do. And now you're taking effort away from energy that could be going to your muscles for more power.
Okay.
And you're using that energy to get rid of heat instead of supplying oxygen to your muscles. So obviously as an effect of that, now there's less energy to go into your muscles and you're going to have reduced performance because of your overheating.
Okay. That is a great explanation. And it goes into my, thank you. It goes to my next question, because there's heat sensitivity in MS and heat intolerance. And then there's also just simple efficiency with what you talked about, because what we're seeing at the Olympics right now, I'm an Olympic junkie, and I have an eye to see this too, because of my experiences, is we're seeing athletes cooling themselves with cooling vests and using ice bags in their jersey. And of course they're really dealing with humidity and they're dumping cold water on their head. And, you know, Curtis, it's interesting. So why is it important for these world-class athletes that don't have MS to stay cool? I mean, they're working really hard at staying cool.
Well, it goes back to what Brad said, is that, you know, you really want to be as efficient as your body as you can. And that's really what exercise is it increases your body's efficiencies. You know, it makes your muscles stronger. It makes your breathing better, you know. And how these athletes work is the same strategies that people living with MS can use. Like we're talking about pre-cooling, cooling during the activity, and then post-cooling. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really, really like people to know about is post-cooling, especially because, you know, sometimes depending on what activity you're doing, a cooling vest isn't the most appropriate device, you know, but mm-hmm. you put it on afterwards, and then that can help give you that same effects as you were if you were to use it. But the secondary effect is that by cooling your body after your exercise or your workout, it's going to bring that heart rate down quicker. So it's going to get your body back to a more efficient level of blood flow quicker, therefore giving you more energy to do other things and also kind of help out with that inflammation. That's the word.
The inflammation, sure. Which would help recovery. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I like to help people look at what they're fighting for versus fighting against. And when you're fighting for being healthy and happy and optimizing your well-being, you know, you look at these Olympians and how hard they're working to optimize their health, optimize their performance, and to see it that way. Like, I'm not cool. You may think about, like, I have to cool and do all this extra stuff because I have MS. And thinking about it, really kind of an Olympic mindset, is thinking about it as a way to optimize your health and well-being. And if that's your goal, if that's what you're shooting for, it doesn't have to always be what you're doing because you have MS. And we're seeing the Olympians do that because they want to perform well.
Yeah, and, you know, I would just say, flip that. The Olympians are following the people living with MS's techniques.
Yeah, that's a great flip. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because people living with MS should be doing this, and the people that to get the most out of their lives are copying people with MS.
Absolutely. And they're copying and they're taking from the research around cooling that has happened. And saying, you know, there's a lot of research around cooling, as you guys know, that people are going, if I utilize this research, to keep my body temperature in a certain range, and, even during sleep, I mean, there's all sorts of research on cooling and performance, and these guys are taken from us, from the research from us. So thank you for that, mindset shift. That's great. So, in looking at what some of these Olympians are doing or what other people are doing to cool when they maybe don't have a cooling vest, or in addition to having a cooling vest, I'm curious about what other places. So Brad, this is a question for you. So what other places on the body that are best to cool, even in the design of your cooling vest, but what are some places in the body that you can cool to help lower your core temperature?
So the kind of the easiest place to start is areas where blood vessels are really close to the skin. So around your neck area, your wrists, groin area, and then armpits is another good one. And then your lower back is where we place ours in the undercool. A lot of these areas that are really good for blood flow to the outside world or to the outside environment are kind of difficult places for a lot of cooling because they're usually in joints, right? Or around joints. And because there's a big bone there, the blood vessels have to go towards the outside of the body. And so it does create issues for cooling that spot if you want to be using it to go golfing or do biking or any sort of athletic endeavor. And that's one of the reasons we are working with the lower back, because we have the blood vessels there. We're also close to a lot of the major organs, so we can cool them directly. And then we can comfortably hold the cooling packs to provide a long lasting feeling, versus just something that's only going to last 10 or 15 minutes and then be done.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's really helpful when you look at those spaces and the why of the design of your, of your vest and really thinking again about how am I cooling my core and not just my skin. So Brad, I'm curious about when you researched, and I think some of what you just shared maybe plays into this. When you guys researched and explored the science behind the best way to cool, what surprised you the most in researching and designing your vest?
I think one of the most interesting things to me is just the temperature that we think is going to be the most effective to cool us down and the temperatures that actually are the most effective to cool us down. We all think, okay, I need a, if I really want to cool down fast, I want to grab an ice pack and stick it right on the back of my neck. And what we find is that the human body doesn't also like to be very cold either, right? And it's so the nervous system is going to go, okay, this is 32 degrees. This is way too cold. My body temperature is supposed to be 98.6. So it's going to constrict your blood vessels to prevent you from going into hypothermia and prevent that blood flow that is so important for everything, for athletics, for cooling your body, for everything else. So you might get, you might feel really cold for a couple minutes and you'll have this awesome sensation, but in effect, it's actually not doing anything to help cool your core temperature. And so we've focused on cooling packs that freeze at a higher temperature that is safe for direct contact with the skin, where now that blood flow can circulate kind of like a radiator in a car, right? The blood goes right by it, cools down a bit, and then gets transported throughout the rest of your body.
Wow. That's fascinating. Again, instant gratification. We think colder is better. And it might feel good, but what you guys found was that it's not, that's not the case. It's not going to optimize our ability for our bodies. It's not going to work in harmony with our bodies really to create the temperature that we both, that we most need to function optimally. That's really interesting.
And we kind of know this anecdotally, right? We just never really kind of put it into practice. Like if you were to sprain your ankle or anything like, or get a bee sting, the first thing we do is put an ice pack on the injury. And it works great for that. That's what it's for, because it's now constricting the blood vessels in that area, stopping the inflammation in that specific location, preventing blood from getting there. But in the process of doing that, we need to remember that now it's not letting the body cool the rest of the body down.
Right, right. We're really going after two different things. And again, that's the distinction that we need to have, that you guys are helping us understand better, that, you know, a bee sting or a sprained ankle and how we treat that is different than how we treat cooling our core temperature to feel good and get the best out of what it is that we want to achieve. That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that with us. So Curtis, I'm really interested, and you guys designed this really cool undercool garment or vest. What went into the design? I mean, you did 50 prototypes and interviewed lots of people. So we know you did that, but what else went into saying, okay, this is going to be the best way to make this vest?
You know, the thing that I think was the most surprising about our journey of creating the vest was talking to people living with MSs and what their needs were. You know, we found out that there were other cooling products on the market and that people actually owned them. And we asked them if they used them and they said no. And so I'm kind of like, well, if there's a product that will cool you down and you're not wearing it, then what's the problem? You know, because we kind of felt like, okay, well, if cooling is the problem and they fixed the cooling, then what's the problem? And, you know, just like everything in the world, it's those underlying problems that people don't want to talk about. It's the problem. Is a lot of the other cooling vests were made too heavy and they were worn on the outside of the clothing because of, like Brad was talking about, the cooling packs were so cold that you had to have a couple of layers of clothing in between you and the skin so that it didn't burn you. And so I don't know, it just seems kind of crazy to put on more clothing to wear a cooling vest when you're getting hot.
Right.
But anyway, that beside itself, you know, And that was one of our big goals, was to be able to make this product so that it fit all of the needs of the people. And one of those was discretion. And that one really came out after lots of trial and error, because people don't want to have a sign on my back that says, hey, I look different.
Right. Yeah. Of course we don't. We know in theory this is good. I need to cool myself. But I also want to be in public and I don't want to stand out necessarily. And there's other options.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that you looked at that. You really talked and listened to people with MS. Yes, I'm heat sensitive and I have a vest that I don't wear.
Yeah. And another big thing that we found out too was that, and I'm sure you're very aware of this, is that 75% of the people who have MS are female.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cooling vests were designed for industrial applications for males.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So there's a little
I'll
problem.
Leave it at that.
There's a little problem, but anyway.
Yes, there is. And here, you know, and I don't want to knock other cooling vests, because if they're getting the job done and people are using them, I mean, that's important.
Exactly. Yes.
And if you're not using them, it's really important to not, with anything, with MS and in life, if one thing isn't working for you, it's not one size fits all. There's other options out there. The thing is never, ever, ever give up and keep looking, keep investigating. And the technology, I mean, the technology you guys used in your vests is, probably couldn't be made 10 years ago. Are long, 15 years ago. So, I mean, things were learning more and things are helping us. There's things that help us out more and more. So, there's people like you guys in Thermo Apparel that are paying attention to what people are saying and what they're asking for. So, Curtis, I'm a cyclist and it's not really possible for me, I'm looking to shave ounces off my bike. I buy things for, to take weight off my bike, and wearing a cooling vest doesn't really serve me to ride uphill fast. So, what I do is cool prior to workouts and really cool after workouts. And I have my own philosophy and rationale behind what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And you talked a little bit more, you talked about, why the importance of cooling post-workout too, but can you share with us about cooling prior to a workout as well as post-workout?
Sure. If you take that big picture look and you try to plan out your cooling needs from beginning to end, just like you plan out your workout, then it makes a lot of sense that if you know you're going to be in a situation where you're overheated, why don't you cool yourself down as much as possible before you start that, so that it takes longer for you to overheat, and or that would tamp down those problems of inflammation and once again the fatigue, and as well as afterwards with your post-workout procedures,
right,
whether that's an ice cold shower, which some of us can stand and some of us can't, a dip into the pool, or just wearing a cooling vest. And it doesn't need to be ours, it just as long as you're using something.
Yeah, as long as you're using something and thinking about it, and you guys are doing such a great job in helping us understand the rationale behind it, as well as providing something awesome for us to utilize if we find your vest good for us. And I'm actually wearing your vest right now, and I love the concealability of it. You would never know I have it on, and it's incredibly lightweight that I could ride in it whether I do or not, it's up to me. And, like, do you want to stay cool? Because when I ride, I'm a junkie on collecting data when I ride. And I want to know what's going on in my body. I watch the temperature, I track the temperature, I track my heart rate, I track my power. And there is a direct correlation between how hot it is outside and my heart rate. And my heart is way higher when it's hotter outside. And so I know it's more taxing on me when I subject myself to that, and how important it is for me to cool post-workout. You know, I stay as cool as I possibly can out there riding at early part of the day. And, sometimes if I have to go out when it's hot, I go, I'll find a shaded area. Like, what's the most shaded area at 5:30? So I can stay as cool because I want to be able to produce, power, keep aerobic, and still optimize my workouts when I'm out there. And when I come back, how important it is to cool, one, so I can recover better. I mean, you talked about the inflammation, and then if I don't cool, if I don't take these proactive steps, I'm going to pay for it. I'm not going to recover as well. I mean, in theory, we can talk about stuff, and then, I know what it feels like. And if I'm proactive in doing what you're talking about, I recover so much better, and I'm able to, go out and work out the following day. So this stuff, the science behind this stuff really works, and you feel it when you put it into practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I even using mine just going out to do some chainsawing or yard work or things like that, just because, it's comfortable enough, it's lightweight enough to do it. And I don't have MS, but I still feel the advantages of that the next day. The fatigue.
Right, right. And that's what is important for all of us to remember, like we talked about with the Olympians, is that everybody's their ability to produce power and being comfortable and having, the blood go where it needs to go to help you perform is going to change when you get hotter. So how can we optimize our performance? How can we optimize our health by using these strategies that you guys are sharing with us? It's fantastic. So I'm curious, Brad, your vest is your guys' vest, the Undercool vest is so cool. So so cool. How can our listeners learn more about your vest?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, www.thermapparel.com. And also on there, they'll have all the information about the science behind it and also testimonials. When we started Thermapparel a couple years ago, we just got so many great, just unwarranted emails from customers that are just like, this thing is amazing. So we wanted to make sure we could share them with everyone with the hashtag Now I Can. And you can follow us on social media, and you'll see we'll be saying things about the heat or about how to stay cool or different things from customers on there all the time as well.
Great. I just thought this Undercool vest I have on right now is night and day from the NASA cooling suit I had on at the UW Research and Rehab test. That I wouldn't be seen in public. It's just way too bulky. And this was quite a while ago, and that was the cooling of the time. But the research into, how to best cool, and it's both the science and the application, and or the science and really the art of staying cool. And the art really is like, how do we make this usable in our life? Because we're not just like, I have MS and I need to. It's like, no, I have a life. I'm a person who happens to have MS, and this is what I'm going to do. And not everybody needs to know I have a vest on. And I can. There's no shame in it, but it's certainly more comfortable. I'm sorry.
There's a time and a place for every tool, right? And
absolutely.
The Undercool is that thing that you can, I'll call it, I guess, a Swiss Army knife. You can take it with you and use it for a bunch of different applications, but it might not provide as much cooling as the NASA cryo suit, right? And so depending on what you're doing, what your needs are, there are different products for everybody.
Right. Yes, I'm not going into space. So you guys are involved with the MS Fitness Challenge, and thank you for doing that. Can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement and how you're helping to serve people that are involved in the MS Fitness Challenge?
Yeah, we recently learned about David Lyons and his work, and we're very impressed because his goals really align with ours in that he really helps empower people and breaks those barriers that people have, especially living with MS. And, you know, that's exactly what we wanted to accomplish with our vest, was just to help people, you know, go out and live that life, go to that graduation, go to the cookout, to be able to work out, exercise, you know. Mm-hmm. Those two things just align so well. And he actually uses our vest, I think daily. I'm not sure,
when he's working out. Yeah.
When he's working out. And,
he lives in the desert.
Yes. And, it's exactly what we made the vest for. And so with working with him, we are also offering a MS Fitness Challenge discount as well. So if you, when you're checking out, you type in MSFC, you'll get a 10% discount when you purchase a ThermoPeril Undercool cooling vest.
Awesome. Awesome. That is great. And thank you so much for doing that. And I will have the link to your site and the discount code on the podcast, in the podcast notes, for if people didn't quite catch that. Just check out the podcast notes and the link to your site, and the discount code will be there. So, you know, these cooling vests, I've checked out quite a few. I've owned a few. I've used a few. And they're not necessarily inexpensive. So Brad, are there some resources people can utilize to get help besides your discount code, of course, in getting these devices?
Yeah, there are a couple resources. There, two of the national MS organizations have cooling programs. That's MS Focus or MS Foundation. And MS Association of America. We work with MS Focus, and so they can provide our vest to you if you financially qualify, but their program only runs from February to June.
Okay.
So it's closed for the year, unfortunately, but one of those things to mark down on your calendar if you're in need for next February to make sure you get it in. And then there's also the National MS Society also can help people with cooling needs. If you financially qualify, you just have to kind of talk to them one-on-one, and you want to reach out to their navigators, the MS Society navigators there.
Okay. All right. I'll put those resources in the show notes as well. And the thing that I want to encourage people with is don't let needing some or allowing yourself to receive help. It's not so much about needing help. It's like these resources are there for us. And, you know, these organizations have fundraisers for people people that care raise money for these organizations, so people like us can have these resources. So don't let wanting help and not having to use your own resources to get in the way of getting the help that you need, because cooling is so important with MS, and living your best life is really important, and these cooling devices can really help us with that. So thank you for sharing those resources. I'll make sure to include them in the notes, and what's important is that we, you know, keep our eye on the prize, and that is living our best lives and getting whatever kind of assistance we need to do that.
Absolutely.
So Brad and Curtis, is there anything else you'd like to share about your vest or about cooling in general?
Yeah, this is Curtis. And on the note of trying to live your best life, we have just recently started a hashtag that we want to create a place for people living with MS to share all of those little techniques and things about overcoming obstacles, because we know there's so many little obstacles that occur. And if you can share that, how you overcame that obstacle with somebody else, then it will give you that knowledge. And we all know that that knowledge is power. So we can empower everybody by sharing our little tips and tricks for how to get that best quality life. And it's at #RipUpMS.
Yeah, you can just post on there. You'll see some other videos from other people on that. And if you want to learn more about it, the whole campaign and what to do, it's also on our website, thermapparel.com. There's a blog post on the RipUpMS # campaign.
Yeah, we're just asking everybody to write down their obstacle and then rip it in half on a piece of paper and tell us how they got over that obstacle on a little bitty 30-second video.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Knowledge is power. And, you know, when people see that it can be done and somebody's sharing how they did it, it just opens a whole door of possibilities for people. So thank you so much for creating that space for us to share our experiences, our learning. And, you know, that's how I feel in my journey with MS. It's like, you know, if I've gone through something and figured it out, I want to share with people so they don't have to go through some of the hardship I did and to get to the other side of it. So thank you guys so much for what you're doing, what you're offering, and how you're supporting the MS community.
Well, it's our pleasure. It's an incredible community.
Mm-hmm. It is. We're definitely fighters, and we'll take all the help we can get to learn the best techniques and be supported with the best products to take us to where we want to go. And that's optimizing our health and wellness and staying as positive and proactive as we can. So thank you guys so much once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap for this episode. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available to download on Apple's, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way to support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the more impact we can have. As we close out, remember to visit msfitnesschallenge.com and check out all the great resources we have for you there. And be sure to get involved with our awesome MS Fitness Challenge Facebook group. To all those listening, to all the MS warriors, thanks for listening. Keep striving, keep believing, and together we can win the fight against MS.